Yeah, but thank you. We really appreciate you doing that. At this time, our children and our youth are dismissed to their classes. I'm going to ask that you pray for Deb and Curtis this week. Jason and Katie headed off to Costa Rica yesterday, and they're left with their four grandchildren, having to watch them. But you guys just got back from Costa Rica a couple of weeks. So you guys get back, and then they're heading down there. They're going to YWAM to teach down there. They're doing a class on relationships. And you guys were at the Nations of the World, correct, meeting, where they got together to just bounce around ideas. You guys do aquaponics, but there is, I think Curtis was saying, like biogas type stuff, and then all these different things that are used in foreign countries where they come together and see how they can partner to go out and do things. So really interested in hearing what happened there. The message title today is Jesus is Never Too Late. This morning, I'm going to continue our sermon series in the book of John. Nate, you were quoting John 6:35. Next week, as you heard Dana read, where it says, I am the resurrection and the life, that is the fifth I am in the book of John. You mentioned the bread of life. We're going to be doing a message on that next week, on I am the resurrection and the life. But I pray that this message today will minister and encourage you. The Lord gave me this spiritual application to let many of you know that if God has spoken life to you regarding something in your life, that it is not over no matter how bad or impossible the situation looks. I believe that Lazarus' resurrection is so powerful because it reminds us that it's not over until God says it is over. It reminds us that God can do anything at any time. It reminds us that man's impossibilities is God's opportunities. It teaches us that God is not glorified by our sin, our sickness, our disease, but He is glorified by our deliverance, our healing, and our salvation. That's when God gets glorified. So someone here today needs to know that your situation is not too hard for Jesus. It may be hard for the doctors, and it may be too hard for mankind, but Jesus is willing to take your case because Jesus is the solution today. He has the answers to your problem. Now, as my wife read in the 11th chapter of John, we hear the story of Jesus' friend Lazarus. His sisters send word to Jesus that he's sick. And when Jesus receives the word, he stays there for 2 days. Now, the reason they sent word to Jesus is because they knew Jesus loved Lazarus and that Jesus would come and heal him. But Jesus doesn't show up. For 2 days, he stays where he is. And then finally, he says, you know what, guys? Let's go ahead and head up to where Lazarus is. And, you know, he's not dead, but we're going to head to where he is. And they say, you know what, Jesus? Do you not understand? If you go back to Judea where you just came from, they were trying to kill you there. They're going to stone you. You're going to die if you go back there. But Jesus had a mission to do. He had to go because his friend was dead. So Jesus heads out. Now, on his way there, Martha comes out and meets him and says, you know what, Jesus, if you would have been here, things would have been different. My brother would still be alive. Now, Martha knew that if Jesus had been there, the outcome would have been different. How many of us have been in that situation before where if we thought if Jesus would have been there, things would have been different? See, she gives us the impression in verse 22 that she's starting to believe that nothing is impossible with Jesus. She says this, even now I know whatever you ask God, God will give you. See, she professed to know that she believed that nothing was impossible with Jesus. But then later on, they get to the tomb and she says, you know what? If we move that stone, his body's decomposing. There's a smell in there. Jesus, I told you, if you would just believe, you would see the glory of God. Now, she reminds us so often of how we are when we interact with Jesus. You see, in her head, she knew all things were possible with God. But yet when the natural, and she saw the situation, she says, it stinks, it's impossible. How many of us have been in that situation before where we look and we know that all things are possible with God? He can do anything at any time. We know that in our minds. But then when we look at our situation, we say, you know what? It stinks too much. It's too far gone. Jesus, you're too late. it can't be done. You ever been there? I know I've been there several times. Where we look at the natural and say, you know what? We know mentally that God can do it, but in our hearts, we truly don't believe it. Because we just think it's too late, or it's just too far gone. See, this is much, and there's so much in this passage that we could do deep studies on it, and it would take several messages to go through it. But most of you know the rest of the story. Obviously, Jesus raises Lazarus, and all the people see the amazement of how awesome he is, and he proves once again that he is God. Now, the primary focus of today's message is, I want to encourage you, is that if you've had something in your life die, something that was good, that you knew that Jesus loved and that it was something that was really good, and it has died. I mean, it's gone. It might have been a relationship. It might have been a ministry that you started. It might have been a business that you started. It might have been a hope or a dream that you had. And it's gone right now. I want you to understand one thing, that it is never too late for Jesus to raise it back. Okay, if you've known in your spirit that Jesus loved it and it was something that he supported and that he cared about, you know what? It's not too late. Jesus can do the impossible. Is your Lazarus too far gone, though, that even Jesus can't raise it from the dead? Because that's what a lot of us think. So you have something, this vision, this dream, this hope that you felt Jesus loved and you so much want to see it raised back up. Let me tell you, Jesus is in the business of raising things that are dead. He can bring it back to life. Because the bigger the problem, the bigger the miracle with God. So many of us would be just like Martha and say, Jesus, you're too late. Remember what Martha said? Lord, if you would have been here, things would have been different. Any of you ever felt that way before? Lord, if you would have been here, things would have been different. I know I've said that at least once or twice in my life. God, if you would have just been here a little bit earlier, or if you would have just gave me, you know, just give me that word or that thought or that, you know, thing that I could have invented Facebook and been a billionaire, but you didn't give it to me. God, you were a little late. You know, God, if you would have just gave me those lottery numbers last night instead of someone else, I would have been rich today. Or God, man, if you would have gave me that favor, I would have got that promotion instead of someone else. We look and think that, you know what, if Jesus would have been on time, things would have been different. Now, I'm a person who believes in being punctual. I mean, being late to me is a very bad thing. I was taught that it's better to be 15 minutes early than 5 minutes late. And by and far, the most punctual person in the universe is God. He set up the galaxies in our solar system like giant timepieces, and they run with precision. So, how strange is it then to think that God being late? God, all-knowing, all-powerful, how can he not be on time, we often think? Right? God was late. I mean, he was 25 years late getting Abraham a son. 15 years late fulfilling Joseph's dream. 17 years late making David king. And a good number of other instances, we often think. God was late to these things. And yet, we see here today Jesus being so late to heal somebody that he misses the funeral by 4 days. Okay, now, I know some of you ladies are late, but I don't think 4 days late getting to a funeral that you've ever been. But this is what happens with Jesus. So yes, we find out that God may be 4 days late, but he's right on time. He's 4 days late, but he's right on time. So never give up. Never quit praying. Never quit confessing. Never quit. Never quit believing. You're closer than you think. You're right on the edge of your miracle. So why do we always think God is late or he's not going to show up when we know his timing is perfect? We know, and here's the hard part, getting it from here to here. We know here that God's timing is perfect. We know that he can do anything at any time. We just can't get it down into here because we look at our circumstances, we look at our situations, and we worry. So why did Jesus wait 4 days? See, by delaying, he let the situation become so hopeless and impossible that no one but the creator of the universe could reverse it. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 13, Ray, if you'll bring that up, thank you. It says, then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. See, when God does something like that, you know He's God. And here's Jesus showing up, and you're going to know He's Jesus by after He's done by what He did. See, by delaying to answer their request and letting their situation become so hopeless and impossible, He was showing Martha, Mary, and Lazarus more love than He had ever shown anyone else. You know why? Because He was getting ready to do something for them that He had never done for anyone else. See, the disciples had seen Jesus raise the dead. He'd done it on a couple occasions, but the person was never in the grave. They were never buried and gone for 4 days. This was going to be something that He had never done before. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus loves you just as much as He did them. And He's willing to do the same stuff for you today. See, we think that God only does it for someone else. But God wanted Martha, Mary, and Lazarus to realize how much He cared for them, that He was going to do something extraordinary for them when that miracle happened. See, God wanted this miracle to be unquestioned, so He delayed to make the miracle more undeniable. And I want you to get this right here. God's greatest intentions may be signaled by His longest delays. By His longest delays, you're waiting and waiting and waiting, and it's His greatest intentions to do something that He's never done for anybody else, to do something you've never seen before. But will you keep waiting for Jesus to show up? Or will you be like Martha and Mary, both coming to Jesus saying, if you would have been here, things would be different than they are, not realizing Jesus was getting ready to do something for them that no one else had ever experienced? And how often do we do that to God today? God, if you would have done this, or if you would have changed this, things would be different. And God's saying, if you would just be patient, I'm getting ready to do something that you've never seen before. But you can't be patient. You're in a hurry. My timing is perfect. I'm never late. I'm always on time for what I'm going to do for you. But yet we look at the natural. Up here we know God can do anything, but down here we have a problem. So let me say, Mother, if you have a son who loved Jesus, and Jesus loved him, and now it seems he stinks spiritually, or a ministry that Jesus' loving hand was on, and now it's gone, or it's dead, or if you had a business that went under and you knew Jesus was in that business, this message isn't to say that all things are going to be raised up, but if it was a Lazarus to whom God spoke to you, thy brother, or your relationship, or your ministry, or your business, or your dream, or your vision, whatever it might have been, shall rise again, then let me say this. Don't try to figure it out. Don't say it's too late or it stinks. Just trust that Jesus will be right on time. So if God has spoken to you that He's going to raise something up, it doesn't matter what it is, just trust that He will. Some of you have had a son that you've been praying for years that he would return to the Lord. Just keep believing that Jesus is going to do it in the right time. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Now, you know, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he obviously healed him, because whatever killed him, he no longer had. And let me tell you today, whatever it is that killed your dream, your business, your ministry, whatever it was, when Jesus raised it, is it back up, whatever destroyed it is not going to be there anymore. It's going to be gone. Jesus is going to heal it completely. Isn't that good news today? That when Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead, whatever it was he had that killed him, he obviously no longer had it. He was completely healed. And I want to encourage you today that whatever caused you, whatever dream, hope, whatever it was that you had to die, when it comes back, it's going to be healthy. God is going to keep it healthy. Jesus said, in verse 44, loose him and let him go. Lazarus found freedom in Christ. See, Christ didn't give him life and then leave him bound. See, he was bound like a mummy. He was wrapped in his grave clothes. And what Jesus said, he said, come forth. You know what? He didn't make him walk around the rest of his life like a mummy. See, so often we think that, you know, that God can't solve our problem. I'm addicted to drugs, alcohol. I have this problem. This relationship's messed up. I've done this wrong. When Jesus comes in, he can set you free. You will no longer be bound. Isn't that good news today? that he can set you free. Not only did he raise him from the dead, but he loosened him to go forth. He was no longer bound by the things that were holding him back. Now, Jesus let Lazarus die. And he might have let something in your life die that you loved. It was something that, man, you enjoyed. It was something you were passionate about. And it's dead now. It's gone. Let me say this. When it stinks and it no longer is a possibility in your mind to complete it is when God is going to show up. So I believe there is something in your life that God wants to raise up today so that he can be glorified. And a lot of people say, how long will Jesus wait till he raises it up? And let me just tell you this, it's until it stinks. And that really does stink. Okay, pardon the pun. Because it's not until you've died to yourself, all your efforts have given up, resigned yourself to defeat, and have placed a stone over the tomb, that change can come. See, when you still think that you can fix it or when you think that you can solve it, God is not going to come in and intervene. He's not going to raise it back up. You have to get to the point where you realize it's only God can do it. And that's where Martha said, Jesus, if you would have been in earlier, things would have been different. But I believe God can still do something right now. Even though he's dead, I believe God can still do something right now. See, her solution became God has to do it, no longer us. So has God spoken to you about something and told you it's dead, but he will raise it up? Let me say this, then obey Jesus. Because when he tells you to roll back the stone and get ready, because I say this, Jesus is going to do some raising up. Now, here's what I want you to understand. It took a miracle for Lazarus to be raised from the dead, but it took willing men to move the stone from the grave. It took willing men to move the stone from the grave. So had Martha and the others been unwilling to remove that stone, I don't believe Lazarus would have been raised from the dead. Sometimes God's going to ask you to participate in the miracle that he's wanting to perform. He's going to ask you to be part of it. And if you're not obedient and willing to do it, sometimes you're not going to see God move the way he intended to move. See, being spiritual lazy doesn't provoke God to work miracles on your behalf. See, God doesn't work miracles when we can do the work ourselves. See, miracles are not intended to be a substitute for hard work or not being responsible. You need to be responsible. You don't see an apple tree bearing 150 apples. If it did, it would collapse under the weight of it. How many of you have ever seen a young apple tree bearing 150 apples before? Normally it's just got a few of it, right? It couldn't handle it if it was to do that. So over time, God strengthens it and prepares that tree so that it can handle the weight of all those apples in maturity. It's the same way with us. See, we want everything right now, but God knows that we can't bear it. So he only gives us one apple or two apples at a time until we are spiritually strong enough to be able to handle a whole bunch of it. It's kind of like the construction worker. If you go to a construction business, they know the deeper the foundation, the taller the structure can go. So the depth of our spiritual foundation determines how high we can rise. So God must dig us down so that he can raise us up. That makes sense? Sometimes God's got to dig you down, build a strong foundation so he can raise you up. So what am I saying? Is if you want Christ to do a great work in you and through you, you must apply yourself to grow spiritually. So you must set time aside for prayer and Bible study. God's not going to do these things for you, or is he going to force you to do them? You have to roll away the stone from your heart. Allow Christ to do a great work in you and through you, changing you into his image. See, if you truly want to see Christ do a great work, you must have a tender heart which desires to do what Christ has commanded. And upon your obedience, he will do what you cannot do. And I'm going to say that again. Upon your obedience, Christ will do what you cannot do. Okay? See, you obey Jesus by removing the stone. And here's the question I have today. What stone do you need to remove for Christ to do a miracle? What stone is in your life right now that has to be moved for Christ to do a miracle? Is it unforgiveness? Is it some type of sin? Is it unbelief like Martha, where she had it in her head, but when it came time and she got there and Jesus said to remove the stone, she said, but my brother stinketh right now. And Jesus said, did I not tell you if you would believe, you would see God glorified? Earlier you said God would do anything, but now when it's time, you're saying that there's a problem. And we are the same way. What is stopping you from removing the stone away today? So you may be feeling that you've prayed up, you've read your Bible, you've waited, and nothing's happened. You ever been there? God, I've prayed, I've read my Bible, I've waited on you, and still nothing's happening. I'm still dealing with that dead issue. I'm still dealing with my situation. I'm still dealing with the problems that I keep bringing to you and praying about. I would say this. Martha knew Jesus could raise up her problem, could raise Lazarus. But truly, she believed it was too late. See, we often know in our heads that God can do anything at any time. But so often, our actions say something else. And you know why? Because we worry. We try to do it ourselves. We stop believing because we think that God is just too late. God can't solve the problem. And the biggest thing I got from reading the story the whole week is this, that Jesus can do anything at any time. And the key is to not stop believing that. To truly believe in your heart that it's going to happen. Can you imagine someone being raised after 4 days? I mean, 4 days. We see there's lots of people that have been raised from the dead. Elijah did it. Elisha did it. Peter did it. Paul did it. There was a lot of people that raised people from the dead. But not after 4 days. This was an impossibility. Can you imagine that you have gone to the funeral home? You've had the funeral. They've taken the body. You've gone and done the gravesite. And they have buried the body. And 4 days later, the body being raised from the dead? That would be an impossibility. You would have given up hope. You would think there's no way God can do that. But yet Jesus did it. So we know in our heads that He can do it, but do we still believe in our hearts? That's where we got to get to today. We've got to continue to believe that no matter what, if God has spoken a word to you, He told her, your brother is going to rise. He's not dead. It's going to be okay. When you get to that point, you've got to continue to trust God. You've got to continue to trust God. So, let me wrap this up for you here. This Jesus that you're waiting on today, this one that you keep praying to and you're wondering why He hasn't responded, let me tell you this. He has the power to alter the forces of nature, to calm the winds and the waves. Power to spend the moment of the universe in an answer to one man's prayer. Can you imagine that? To suspend the movement of the universe because one guy prayed. Jesus did miracles with many elements. He made blind people see. He made bread and fish multiplied. He transformed water into wine. I want to remind you who you're appealing to today when you're praying and asking God to do something. He didn't have to be present to do a miracle. He told the centurion, go your way and your servant will be made whole. No circumstances could stop him. No limits of time could be a factor. He had the power to heal sight, restore hearing to the deaf ears, speech to the mute, freedom to demon-possessed, cleansing to the lepers, and He can even raise the dead. This is the person you're appealing to today. So whatever it is you're dealing with or you're waiting for God to restore or bring back to life, it is not impossible with Him. If you can get it from here to here, God can work so many mighty things for you. Remember when Jesus came to His own town? He said it was one of the only places in the Bible that Jesus did not heal all the people that He dealt with and do all these incredible miracles. And you remember why it was He didn't do it in His own town? What was that? Somebody say it louder. Their unbelief stopped him from doing it. Now, is there something impossible with Jesus right now that you feel is going on in your life? Do you think, you know what, it just isn't possible? Let me say this, there is nothing impossible with them. So never close the book on your life when God is not finished writing the story. Never hang up when God is still on the line with you there. He is still working in your life. So, mothers, don't lose heart. If God has spoken to you about raising up a spiritually dead child, wives, do not lose heart if God has spoken to you about raising up a spiritually dead husband. Ministers, all you that want to minister and stuff, do not lose heart if God has spoken to you about raising up a dead ministry. Businessmen, do not lose heart if God has spoken to you about raising up a bankrupt or closed business. See, when you trust in the Lord and stand on His promises, He will provide a divine enablement unlike anything you could ever imagine. When Jesus is ready, He's going to say, come forth. And whatever was dead is going to come forth. And I want to close with these five words. Jesus is never too late. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with us today? As our worship team comes forward, I believe that God is speaking to individuals today. I believe this was a word that God wants you to hear, that, man, you've had something you've been hanging on to that would come back. And I believe today God is saying that, man, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to raise this thing back up. But I just feel in my spirit that there is a stone that needs to be removed. And whatever that is today, you've been waiting for a long time for God to do something. And I believe God wants you to participate. God wants you to say, you know what? I need to remove this stone out of my life. Some unforgiveness or some type of sin or unbelief, whatever it may be. Where you say, you know what? I just need to get this thing removed so that God can call forth that dead thing. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor Ed, I know exactly what you mean, man. I know in my head God can do anything, but deep down in my heart, I believe it's been too late. I feel that it just stinks too bad, that there's just no way that God's going to do it. Maybe you need to come down here today and just ask God to forgive you for your unbelief, to help you increase your faith. The Bible says that each of us have been given a measure of faith. But you can pray to have your faith increased. And maybe that's what you need today, is to believe with your whole heart that God is going to raise something back up. Whatever it may be, we want to open these altars up. It is a time for you to spend with God. If you want to see God do a miracle, remember what Martha did. She came running to meet Jesus. She didn't stay and wait for Jesus to get there. She ran to Him. Are you willing to run and meet Him at the altar today? Are you willing to come and say, you know what, God? Man, I'm mad at You. I'm upset because what it was important to me and You let it die. Jesus can handle it. He wept with them. It broke His heart to see that they were hurting. And Jesus will weep with you today. Jesus will weep with you if you will come and meet Him and let Him know how you truly feel. And the great thing is, after He got done weeping, He said, come forth. And folks, I want you to know today that Jesus is willing to meet you here at these altars. He's willing to cry with you. He's willing to let you know that He knows you're hurting today. Whatever it is that's hindering you, we're going to open these altars up. Nissa, will you lead us in worship?
Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise. devoted, like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today.
Situations that were dead. You know why that Jesus and God does all these miracles and stuff? It's not just for your benefit. He loves you and he wants to bless you and all that. But the verse after where my wife left off said that many of the Jews who'd come to Mary and had seen these things Jesus did believed in him. God wants to be glorified. God does so many things so that others will be able to see that he is God. And that's the big thing I want you to take, is that when God does something in your life that you know only he could do, tell others about it. Let others in on the fact that the God you serve is an awesome God. and then others will be able to believe too. Amen. So I pray that God does something awesome this week that you can share with others. Have a great week. Bless you. Thank you.